we offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Did you have a good Easter? What effect did it have on your spiritual life? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are the risen Lord and that you are the one who comes to live in our hearts. God, we thank you that we have had the privilege once again to live through these days and to meditate on the cost of that redemption for us. Help us to understand, O God, that you gave your life out of love and that you desire to live within our lives that we may bring blessings to those who are round about us. Thanks, God, for being our victorious Lord, and thank you for being so close to us that we can come to you at any time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of 1 John, beginning with verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have no sin, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Gospel for this day. Oh. friends in Christ. What effect did Easter have on your spiritual life? There could be many answers to that question. Somebody could say, not much. I don't think any. It was a nice day. I went to church. It was a festive service. It was excellent music. The church was full. The sermon was fine. And it was just nice to be there with members of the family. But that's about it. And now we're on with life again. Others may say, yeah, it was a real spiritual experience. In fact, I have to say that I had a spiritual awakening, another person might say. I know now that Jesus Christ truly lives, and I want him to live in my heart, and I'm going to work on that real hard by living with him in the Word of God. It was a great day. I have a new peace. And still another one might say, well, Easter for me affirmed what I believe, and it is so necessary for me to sit and listen again and again to the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sins and that he has been raised again. And that was a price that he had to pay in order that I might be restored back into a living relationship with God. Easter is always a spiritual experience for me. Good. Now, let's go back to the first century. And here you have the story of an elder statesman, John the disciple. He was living in Ephesus, and it was somewhere between the years of 85 and 90. So you see, that was a long time after that first Easter. John is writing a letter to some of the churches around about in his day, but it turned out to be a letter for all Christians, and his purpose was to assure believers that Christ lived and to give them confidence in their faith. Take a look at our text. It's just full of the effects of what can happen because of Easter. These words came from the pen of John, and the editor of the Application Bible in the commentary part has said, John was one who walked with Jesus and talked with him. He saw him heal. He heard him teach. He watched him die. He met him risen, and he saw him ascend into heaven. Notice in the very first part of this text that is ours today, that Jesus says, because of Easter, you can know the Lord. And one thing you can know about him is that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In other words, one of the effects of Easter is that I am spiritually enlightened. Certainly there are many mysteries about God that one does not understand. Our small minds trying to discover the eternal truths is a pretty big assignment. I may not know everything about God, and I better not attempt to say that I do. But by the grace of God, and because Jesus Christ has been raised, and because he gives us the light, there is much that we can know about him. We can know that he's anxious to shed that light into our lives. What are some of these lights? Well, the first thing for me, and I hope it is for you, is that I discover there as God speaks to me and opens my darkened eyes, is that I have a God of love. He is a God, he knows well that if I will experience his love, he then will live in me, and I will love him, and the result will be revealed in the way that I live. Notice in our text, he says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. In other words, Jesus is revealing to us what the truth is. Now let's just go back and take one of the commandments. One of the commandments says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You might have gone to church last Sunday, but you're not there this Sunday, and you may not be there next Sunday. That's not living according to the truth. In other words, the light of God's Word tells me that I need to be together with the saints of God, with those who believe in Christ Jesus, in the church on a Sunday, singing praises to God and being fed spiritually speaking. That's living in the light. There's no question that that is the will of God. He also wants me to be one of his witnesses. For just before he ascended into heaven, you remember what he said to his disciples, don't you? You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, you're going to be my witnesses at home and near to home and around the world. If I do not witness to him through word and deed, then I have to ask myself, am I living in the light? If I live in the light, I want to tell people about Jesus. It is an astounding thing how long that light continues to linger with us. Now, you might not agree with what I'm going to say in this next paragraph or two. You know what I believe? I believe that what we see going on in Iraq and what we will see going on for the next many months has been brought about by our Christian heritage. Forefathers in the past have lived in the light, and they have learned that we are to help those who are in distress. It is true that America has walked far away from God, but it is also interesting to know that some of the basic truths of living in God's light, some of those basic truths that are found in the Christian faith, still continue to motivate us as a nation. You know, when the Marines and the Army first went into Baghdad, there was a temptation to raise the American flag. And the telecast that I heard said that they had received orders, "We are not raising the American flag. None of that. We have come as liberators and not as captors. We have come not to capture, but to set free." And I believe that we're going to see in the days ahead our people set up a government of some kind, and it's going to be a tremendous chore and a great challenge, whereby those people who have been enslaved under an insane dictator will now be set free, and they will not have to live with fear. I believe that that is a light that the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ gave to his church. And a church has passed it on down through. And even though the church sometimes is scoffed at, and even though we don't think there is too much to this Christianity sometimes as a nation, here it stands before us. Who gave us that idea? To, after we had really bombed that land, that we would go in and rebuild it. We did it in Europe after World War II, in the Marshall Plan, and I believe we're going to do it in Iraq. And there are no political implications to this at all. This is neither Republican nor Democrat. This is the heart of a nation that is crying out, "This we must do." And that's the light that comes from the Word of God, that the God who is a God of love has loved us, put that love into our heart, and we must love others. I believe that's true. I learned that I am accountable to God when I live in the light. I understand what Paul writes to the Corinthian church. "I care very little that I am judged by you or by any human court. It is the Lord who judges me." If you didn't live in the light of the Word of God, could you ever, ever conceive of reasoning that way? No. It is natural that we want to be well thought of, and of course we still do, even as the redeemed children of God. But the light tells me, be more concerned about what God is saying and how God is judging than that of human beings. If I live in the light, I know what to do with my sins. I don't have to deny them, nor do I have to defend them. I don't have to explain them. I need to confess them. Listen again to the children of the light. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, we don't go around if we live in the light and talk about how holy we are. Those of us who live in the light through Christ, the results of Easter, know how badly we need a Savior, and we have one. We have one who says, "You come and confess your sins to me." And if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, and that is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that a marvelous passage of Scripture that we can read, that I can know as I live in the light? I don't have to go around making all kinds of excuses for the way that I live. No, I know that often those things are wrong, and I can bring it to the throne of grace. And there the crucified Christ becomes the risen Lord, and he says, "If you confess that sin, I will forgive you, and I will be your defense before the Father who is in heaven." If I had a good Easter, and if I've had some kind of a spiritual experience, and I live in the light, and I begin to understand that I am a part of an international fellowship. I have brothers and sisters who live all around the world. And more than that, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers who already live with the Lord in heaven. And by grace, if I live in the light, one day I can live there with them too. There might be many things which divide us as an international people, but there is so much that unites us, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ. So I ask you again, what effect did the Easter message have on you? Did you meet the risen Christ? Has he given you new spiritual life? There is that life in the one who wants to walk among us, and who wants to tell us again, listen, you don't have to live in the darkness. Oh, you hear so many people say so often, we're in the dark. We're in the dark as to what is right. And I know that there are many things in our lives that the Word of God perhaps does not speak to specifically, but it does speak to us very directly. I'm having a good time these days visiting with a couple of my grandsons who are trying to decide where to go to college and what career to pursue. I don't know if there's going to be any page of the Bible that suddenly is going to tell them you go here and you become this. But I think that God is saying to them, look, you go to the place where you can use your talents that I gave you for the furtherance of the kingdom. You walk in the light. You live with Christ. You pray to him. He will guide you. He'll direct you. I've just come from the funeral of a lady who was just filled with all kinds of talent. There was her husband. I know that he is going to be terribly, terribly lost in these days that are before him. Sometimes I think that we men have a more difficult time with that than our wives do. They seem to adjust just a little bit better than we do. And maybe this gentleman will have a tough time too. But I wrote on my card to him, you know, the Lord is going to lead you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to strengthen you. You know that. Your wife was a child of the light. She knew Christ. And you have walked by her side. And you know him too. That's the light of the gospel. The light that said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Well, these are just a few of the effects of Easter. Basically, putting it all together, it means this, that living Lord has come to live in your heart and mine. Have we invited him in? He's knocking at the door if you haven't. Amen. Father in heaven, in a day that is often rather dark, we thank you that you have given us your Son, who our text has told us today is the light of the world. Lord Jesus, will you lighten up our paths? Will you reveal to us, O God, how much you love us? Sometimes our eyes are blind, and we don't understand. Sometimes in our most difficult hours, you're right there to give us light, and to show us how we have walked away from you and how you're drawing us back. God, be merciful to us where we have sinned, and through the merits of your Son, will you grant us the forgiveness of all of our wrongs. Strengthen us. Be with us these days, O God, as we seek to rebuild this land of Iraq. God, it is beyond human possibility, I believe, without your guidance. So guide those who are in authority over us. And thanks, O God, that there still is within our heart a desire to help those who are afflicted, that we may set them free from a dictator, and grant, O God, even from Satan himself, through Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message bring you peace, joy, and strength for the days to come. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write, call, or email our office and tell us what station you listen to. This helps us to know which radio stations are being heard. All listeners who respond will receive our book, a collection of Christian Crusaders' 10 Most Requested Sermons of 2002. Please call or write this week to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, to share with us the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Our website is here to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.